Begin the current daf, Masech Tzvachim, daf Nun Tes. Begin on the bottom of Nun Tes Mabez, second line up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, on the previous daf, we opened up this Parakutcha Kutchim, discussing a unique halacha regarding slaughtering on the top of the Mizbech. So, Ed Machlegis, Rabbi Yisim, Rabbi Yehuda, if the entire area of the Mizbech is Kutchim or Kutcha Kutchim, only the northern half. So, Rabbi Yechon had said halacha, the Rabbi Yisim holds all the Mizbech is in the north. So the Gemara had assumed, what does he mean by that? Oh, he infers it from the Mishnah. That's why the top of the Mizbech, since it's in the area of the north, that's why it's kosher. That the Gemara asked, but Rabbi Yechon has said that even though he holds the northern half of the Mizbech is going to be kosher, but on the corresponding area on the ground, if let's say one would shrink the side of the Mizbech, it would not be kosher. Obviously, although he holds half of the north as kosher on the top of the Mizbech, but it obviously does not infer that it's in the area itself of half north and half south. So the Gemara concluded and says, you're right, the halacha of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yechon was saying, was the tradition that he had, but it wasn't inferred from the halacha of that Mishnah. So then the Gemara said, but seemingly we should have an allusion to this tradition that Rabbi Yechon had in regard to halacha of Rabbi Yosi. So the Gemara says, yeah, I'll prove it to you from a Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, where there is a Mishnah that discusses the halacha that the Marocha Shnia of the Keteris, which was also used to burn the Levina, was going to be from the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, drawn north on top of the Mizbeach by an area of Dalet Amos. So that the Gemara proved and went through painstaking detail to describe and says, it must be that means that the whole Mizbech was in the north. Because if it was totally in the south, then 27 Amos, it should be moved towards the north so that it could be Pesach Oyel Mayid, because that's where this Marocha Shnei has to be. If it's going to be half and half, so you still got to do an area of 11 or of 6, but it can't be just Dalet Amos. So that's what the Gemara proved, that it seems that it's Rabbi Yosi, because Rabbi Yosi is the one who says this halacha that this Marocha Shnei Shaketeris has to be Pesach Oyel Mayid, and therefore we see that he holds it has to be Kula B'Tzafen, and it's telling you actually the maximum that it could be is Dalet Amos, because more than that, the Marocha is not going to be any more Pesach Oyel Mayid, it's going to be too much in the north. And that the Gemara rejected the Raya and says, no, it could be like Rabbi Yehuda, who says actually half and half, and this that he says four is besides the Yisayid and the Saiviv, and therefore together with those two, it's going to be actually for six. And therefore, it's going to be partially Pesach Oyel Mayid. Now, the Gemara continues now with a third approach. Rav Shrav Yomer, he says, no, you could even say that the Dalet Amos that it said, that it's going to be Mashlech Klapei Tzafen, was including the Am Yisrael and the Am Saviv. And then, therefore, based on what the Gemara had initially been saying, you could prove that the Mizbech was all in the north. However, says Rav Shavya, you still cannot support Rabbi Yechon from over here to say that Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta, that he's the one that we know that he says regarding that halacha, the brice that's brought on the top of this Amud Nun Chesem Beis, that but regarding what those that were taken from the inside or the outside, it has to be on the right by Pesach Oyel Mayid, the part of the Mizbech that's closest to the Heichel, because says Rav Shavya, that everyone holds that halacha. And then with that Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, we could say, Ha'mani, who's the Tana? Rabbi Yosi Glilihi, who, yeah, him we know, we already have a source that he holds that the Mizbech is all in the north. And therefore you could say that, yeah, that Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, that is including Dalet Amos with the Am Yisrael and the Am Yisrael, the only way you could explain that Mishnah then, is that it's Kula Mizbech B'Tzafenkai. But it's not, you can't prove anything regarding the regular Rabbi Yosi, who's Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta, to say that he holds, which was who Rabbi Yechon's halacha was going, and who is the Tana of our Mishnah, on Chesem and Aleph, that holds that Kulim Mizbech B'Tzafenkai. No, could be Rabbi Yosi holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Mizbech was half in the north, half in the south. And the fact that the top of the Mizbech, all of it can be slaughtered, kachi kachim, that has no relationship to that, like we brought from Yosi Yehuda. Although he holds it's all in the Dharm, he still holds the northern part as still kasher b'kasher kasher. And rather, who's the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid? Rabbi Yosi Glilihi, the Tana Glilihi Nebraisa, that we can prove that he holds that all the Mizbech is in the north. Rabbi Yosi Glilihi says, Mitech Shenema, and the fact that it says the pasuk in Shemayis, when the Satas Akir, they should place the Kir, which was the washing basin that the Kohanim washed their hands before they did the Avodah, you should place it ben oil mayid v'gomer, between the oil mayid, and etc., like the pasuk says, ben mizbech, says to be between the Heichel and the Mizbech. Now, however, there's another pasuk that says, V'es, as we continue on top of the Testament Aleph, Mizbech oil v'gomer, that the Mizbech, HaNecheish, is the outer Mizbech, like the pasuk there continues and concludes, some Pesach Mishkan oil mayid. The Mizbech has to be directly opposite the opening of the Oyel Mayid, and you cannot have the Kir interposing between the Mizbech. So therefore, the Gemara says, Mizbech bePesach Oyel Mayid, that tells us that only the altar could be in the opening of the Oyel Mayid. But like Kir bePesach Oyel Mayid, you cannot have the Kir in the opening of the Oyel Mayid. So you learn now from these two psukim that you have to put the kir as close as possible to the airspace between the Mizbech and the Oil Moed, as long as it doesn't interpose between the Mizbech and the Pesach, the opening of the Oil Moed. But the opening was not as wide as the Oil Moed itself, as the Heichel, but in that opening, in the entry, in the doorway, cannot be blocking. So says the Gemara, so Heichen Hoye Nice Night. So says this Braisa, says basically, so where exactly did they place the kir? So it's basically Bein Ha'ulam Ulam Mizbeach. They placed it between the antechamber and the altar. Mashach Kima, that it was drawn a little bit from the corner of the Mizbeach, not to block any part of the Mizbeach, Klape Adorm towards the south. So it comes out that none of the kir was opposite the area of the Mizbeach. Rather, it was like between the Oil Maidim and the Mizbeach. But it really wasn't at all between the Oil Moed and Mizbeach. It was in the area between, but it was drawn a little bit to the south, away from the Mizbeach. Now, as the Gemara is going to prove, that the factor basically required that the kir be drawn from opposite the area of the Mizbeach towards the south. Now, the truth is, he didn't have to distance it away from the Mizbeach, as long as it's not between the Mizbeach and the Pesach of the Oil Moed. But the fact that he still had to draw it away, that it shouldn't be any part of it opposite the area of the Mizbeach, obviously it's because all of the Mizbeach was in the north, and therefore you have to draw it totally away from the area of the Mizbeach, because it would be at all in the area of the Mizbeach, that would be opposite the Mizbeach and the Pesach of the Oil Mayid, and he's not allowed to get, that's not, the Kir is not allowed to be there, as the Gemara is going to explain, and therefore it had to be totally drawn to the south, away from the area of the Mizbeach, as the Gemara explains. Because Micah Savar, what does it basically hold that he wasn't able to fulfill the Pasuk that says, similarly, the Pasuk says that the kir should be between the Oil Moed and the Mizbeach. And now, according to Rabbi Zaglil's interpretation, it's not really at all between the Mizbeach and the Oil Moed. It's like in the area, it's between like in the sandwich, but it's pulled away to the south. It's not anywhere in between that area opposite from the Mizbeach. So the Gemara explains, if you would think to say that he holds that all of Mizbeach was in the southern part of the Azara, so then you have a lot of the area of the Mizbeach that's in the south, which is opposite the wall of the Heichel, but it won't be opposite the Pesach, the doorway of the Heichel, and therefore he should have placed it over there. Why? He should have placed it by the area of where the walls of the Heichel start to close, where it's not the opening, which is towards the southern part. And that's Bein Ulam Ul Mizbeach. That would be opposite the area of the opening of the Ulam, because the opening of the antechamber was wider than the Heichel itself, which is what the closed part of the walled part of the Heichel, and it would be opposite the Keisel of the Heichel, because it's wider 5 amas to the south. So why do you have to do it totally away from the Mizbeach? What do you mean? You could just do it, not block the part of the opening of the Heichel, but it could still be literally between the Mizbeach and the wall of the Heichel, just not the Pesach HaHeichel. Moreover, continues the Gemara. So it can't be literally like that, all in Dharm. But v'ina mikasav kedushas heichel v'ul mechadihi. Now, if you can even entertain to say that no, you can't have it just a little bit. You can't just not blocking the Pesach heichel, because actually the sanctity of the heichel, the chamber itself, has the same as the antechamber which opened up into it. And therefore, so too, the Pesach of the Ulam had the same sanctity as Pesach HaHeichel, and therefore you have to draw it to the south that it can't even block not just the opening of the Heichel, but even of the Ulam. Fine, says the Gemara, but still it's difficult. Nukmei Mekaisel Ulam Uladarm, let him place it towards the between the wall of the Ulam and to the south, which would still be Bebein Ulam Ulamizbeach, between the antechamber and the Mizbeach. Because since you're saying that the wall of the Ulam is like the wall of the Heichel, so you would still be able to fulfill the simple understanding of the Pasuk Bein Oil Moed Ul Mizbeach. And therefore, that would be more valid than the way Rabbi Yisrael is describing it, that it, none of it was actually opposite the area of the Mizbeach. Moreover, continues the Gemara. And inam iksava chetz bitzav and chetz bidarm. And even if you say, okay, fine, so obviously it wasn't, according to Rabbi Yisrael, literally all in the south. But let's say you're going to say that it was half in the north and half in the south. It's still difficult. But let us still place the kir by opposite the Mizbeach, which was facing the walled part of the Heichel towards the south, which is Bein Ulam Ul Mizbeach, which is between the opening of the Ulam and the Mizbeach, because you still have 16 Amas of the Mizbeach in the southern part of the Azar. So the 5 northern parts of that southern part is going to be by the Pesach, because the Pesach Oil Moed was also half in half, half in the north and half in the south. So five of those 16 is going to be Pesach El Moed. So you can't have it there, but there's still 11 Amis that you could put it in the southern part of the Mizbeach. And even if you're going to say, okay, fine. No, you can't do that whole area because it's not only cannot be Pesach Ha'oil of the Hegel, it can't even be blocking the Pesach Ha'ulam. So you'll have to be drawing it to the south away from the opening of the antechamber. But still, Nukmi Mekaisel Ulam, but at least let it be by the walled part of the antechamber where it's closed over there by the Ulam, Uladarm to the south, which would be Bein Ulam and Mizbeach. At least you'll be able to fill the pasuk between the antechamber and the Mizbeach, where there's still an area of six Amis. Why is it that he says totally it's not going to be anywhere opposite the area of the Mizbeach? Rather, says the Gemara, obviously, because Rav Yisrael holds that the entirety of the Mizbeach was in the northern part of the Azara. Comes out that the southern part of the Mizbeach, all of it was Pesach Ha'oil. And therefore, had we put the kir opposite any part of the southern part of the Mizbeach, it would be blocking between the Mizbeach and the Pesach of the oil. But the Gemara then asks now, well, if that's the case, and as Rashi adds into the gears of the Gemara, well then Vinukmi, then okay, instead of making all these calculations about how much of the kir we could have on the southern side, Vinukmi bin Mizbech lehechel betzafen, then put the kir between the Mizbech and the Hechel on the northern side, meaning on the closed wall part of the Hechel on the northern side. Oh, and that answers the Gemara. No, Ksavr Kedushas Hechel v'ulam chadihi. No, because the Rebbe basically holds that the sanctity of the Hechel and the Ulam are the same. And therefore, you're not allowed to get in the way not only of the Pesach HaEchel, but even the Pesach HaUlam. Fine, but it continues the Gemara, Kinami Mukmislam Mikoisel Hechel Ulatzafen, even if you're going to go ahead and put it by the northern part of the Hechel and to the north, Havalei Bin Ulam Mizbech, he's still blocking between the Ulam and the Mizbech, and that can be blocked. So the Gemara says, fine. But then the Nukmi Mekaisel Ulam Ulatzafen. So you can't have it by the closed part of the Hechel, which was the open part of the Ulam, but place it opposite the walled part of the Ulam and towards the north, which you'll still have Bebein Ulam Mizbeach. You'll still have at least that the Kira is somewhere between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Why is it that we're making calculations that we're saying, oh, it's all in the north, so you can't have any of it on the south? So then fine, do it on the northern part and won't be blocking any Pesach Hechel. And that says no. The Gemara answers because Amakra, the pasuk actually says in the Yikra Parak Aleph pasuk Yid Aleph, when it says v'shachat oisi al yerchem mizbech, when it talks about where you can slaughter a carbon, so you slaughter it by the side of the mizbech tzafayna, towards the northern part. Now, although this pasuk is just talking about the shechita of a carbon of kachikachim, but it should have said that you'll slaughter it on the side of the mizbech tzafayna. Why is it tzafayna? What's the extra hay for? So that says the Gemara, that's coming to make an exposition with the word, to tell us to read it, she'etzafen panoi mekelim. The word tzafayna also has an et panoi, that the northern part should be empty from any vessels, and the kir was a kli, and therefore you can't have it on the northern part. So it has to be in the southern part. Southern part, that we made the calculation, since it basically holds all in the north, all of the southern part is going to be Pesach Ha'il, and that's why it had to be drawn a little bit to the south, not blocking any part of the Mizbech. And therefore, that was Rav Shravi's answer by saying, look, yeah, you'll prove that the Mishnah in Masechtas Tamid is telling us that it's all in the north, but we could say it's basically like we find he holds that and not necessarily be a proof to Rabbi Yechanan that Rabbi Yisi in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Yisi ben Chalafta is the one who holds that all Mizbeach is in the north. Now the Gemara asks, so man tana de polygalad Rabbi Yisi, who's the tana that disagrees with him and actually holds that, not like he, that he holds all in the north, and neither like Rabbi Yehuda from the previous stuff who holds his half in the north, half in the south, but rather that holds all in the south. Says the Gemara, Blizzard Ben Yaakov, the Tanakh Glinda, the Bryce, Blizzard Ben Yaakov, he says, he interprets the word tzafayna, yeah, the extra hay is telling you drasha, but he reads it, she'et tzafin panem mikulum, that the northern part of the Azara cannot have anything in it, va'afilla min ha-mizbeach, even the altar can't be there, not just like kalim that you couldn't have the kir there, and therefore, obviously, if you can't have the mizbeach in the north, it was all in the south. Now the Gemara continues a related discussion, relating back to the pasuk that we had brought from the previous daf, from Zavachta, Lo Vesoylasecha, Veshlamecha. So Amar Rav, the Gemara says, Rav said, Mizbeach Shenifka, the altar that became damaged, where something ruined created a deficiency in the Mizbeach. So says Rav, Kol HaKadshim Shenishcha Dusham, so it's not perfect, the Mizbeach has to be perfect. So any Kadshim, any Karbanis that were slaughtered over there in the Azara, are going to be psalm, they're going to be invalid. And he says, Mikru b'yadeinu v'shar k'chanu. We had a pasuk that proved this idea, that if there's any deficiency in the Mizbeach from its halacha, then any carbon that's slaughtered over there in the Azara, even though you're not slaughtering on the Mizbeach, still it's going to be pasul, but we forgot the pasuk. But Kisalik Rav Kahana, when Rav Kahana went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechel Rav Shimon B'Rebi, to come and B'Shimon B'Shmol B'Rebiyesi, that he said this halacha. Minayin l'mizbeach shenifkem, how do you know regarding mizbeach that became deficient? Shekala kashma shenishkud, I assume that any carbon that was slowed over there at that time is going to be invalid. Shemaik, it says in the Pasuk in Shemais, v'zavachto lo v'salasecha v'shlamecha. You should slaughter on it your carbon oilas and your carbon shlam, which refers to the altar. Now the question is, v'chila v'ata zivech, what do you think you're going to slaughter on the altar itself? Now Tosfos points out, although the Gemara, the previous daf as we quoted, actually says that that's a machlokes Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Yehuda, that you are slaughtering, question is, which area do you the oila and shlam on that? And that's his taste. No, the inference that he's saying over here is that the words v'zavachlov sounds like that it's a mitzvah to slaughter on it. A mitzvah to slaughter on it? If anything, you'll say, as the Gemara had said, why we would say maybe oila not shlam is because there's no room where to do it, so we'll allow you a dispensation top nuzbeach. Why is it saying as if you should slaughter on the altar? It's not you should. Rather, Ella, what the pasuk is coming to tell us, that it is contingent on the mizbeach, which tells us kishu shalim, where the word alav is being translated not on it, but because of it. Because of the mizbeach, that the mizbeach is around, that it's still complete, that's when you could slaughter your karbanas, but balik shuchasa, but not when it's deficient. Amar, so when he heard this, he says, oh, hainikra deshtamet le rav, that was the pasuk that Rav had forgotten about, was missing, and that's the source for this halacha. It's only kasher when the mizbeach is shalim. Now, Rabbi Yechonam, he disagrees with Rav's halacha. He says, no, echadze ve'echadze, whether if it was slaughtered at a time when the Mizbeach was pogum, or even if it was slaughtered after they had already fixed the Mizbeach, but it was sanctified at the time that it was pogum, psulin is still going to be valid, any kachim that was around at that time, because that's what's known as halacha as nira, or initially the carbon when it was sanctified was valid to be slaughtered. But then it was nitche, it was rejected, because at a time, the Mizbeach was pogum. And therefore, you can't do anything with the carbon because you can't throw the blood, because there's no mizbeach, that's kosher. And Rabbi Yechon holds, as the Gemara is going to explain, that balichayim are rejected. Living animals, when they're slaughtered, they can be rejected, even though that you didn't actually do the shechita at the time when it was pogum, but it's still going to be rejected as if it was slaughtered, even though it was still a living animal. As the Gemara explains, but my pligi, what's their machlokes? Rav sava balichayim and nedachim. Rav holds that a living animal cannot be rejected. It was sanctified, so now the mizbeach is pogum, fine. But they fixed it, and then they slaughtered it, so it's okay. It's only if it was slaughtered when it was pogum. Oh, that's already rejection. No, even living animals, it was sanctified. So obviously the next part of the process is to go ahead and do the avodah. Then the mizbeach was pogum. You can't do anything. So that's a rejection. And then even when they go ahead and fix it, you can't go ahead and slaughter it. It's already rejected. Now, basically, they asked on Rav in the following brisa. The brisa says, Kol ha-kachim shahayu achloi nivna ha-mizbeach, all karbanas that were before the mizbeach were built, the achkech nivna mizbeach, and then the mizbeach was built, psulin, they're invalid. Now the Gemara asks on the wording of the brisa that we have, nivna, meaning until it wasn't built, sounds like that if when those who came from the diaspora didn't build the mizbeach yet, they already sanctified it, that's going to be rejected. But that would be dechuyin me'ikar ninu. That would be from its inception that it was rejected, because when they were sanctifying it, it was not eligible yet because there was no mizbeach. That would then prove that dichu meikara have a dichu, that initial rejection is considered rejection, which would be difficult according to the one who says it's not rejected, which is machlik as the Gemara brings elsewhere. So Ella rather says the Gemara, no, don't say until it wasn't built. Ella achle neres, until it wasn't destroyed, which sounds like if someone was makdish a carbon and then Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed it, and then when they came to the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, then it was valid to be brought again. Oh, that's already rejected. That is the Gemara Neras. You told me when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Iskin lahu. What do you mean? If you had to wait till 70 years later until the second Beis HaMikdash was built, obviously that carbon is going to be possible because it's a very old animal. And this is taught as one of the blemishes in Masechtas Bechayos of Ma'alav and Ma'alav, that an animal that's old or ill or smelly, that's going to be possible. So obviously it's possible. What do you need to tell me because the Mizbeach was destroyed? Ella, rather, obviously the girsa is, actually, nifkim ha-mizbeach. If someone had a carbon that was sanctified until the Mizbeach wasn't deficient, va'achkech nifkim ha-mizbeach, and then the Mizbeach became deficient, psulin, it's going to be invalid. Well, that's obviously like Rabbi Yechon, not like Rav. Because it's telling us, even though it was just sanctified, it wasn't even slaughtered, you see that's going to be rejected when it's nifkim. Says the Gemara, well, the light to Rutsika Matarzis, but didn't you already amend the Braisa by saying that it's not talking about being built, but rather regarding becoming pogum, becoming deficient? Same as Shanishchatu, so according to Rav, you'll just amend a little bit more and say that any carbon that was slaughtered at a time with pogum is going to be possible, but you're right, if it wasn't slaughtered, it was a balichai, according to Rav, it's not going to be rejected. But the Gemara continues asking on Rav. But Va'am Rav Gidl Amar Rav, but Rav himself says the following halacha. Mizbeach Shenekar, regarding the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the golden Mizbeach, the inner Mizbeach, that got uprooted. It's not there anymore. The halacha is, Maktirin Keteres B'mkames, although they used to always do the incense every day on the Mizbeach, but if let's say it was taken away, so then you'll just do the Keteres in its place. So the assumption of the Gemara right now is so that the same halachas would apply to the outer Mizbeach. So then you have a contradiction in Rav. Because before we quote him as saying that if the Mizbeach was even just pogum, not even disappeared, it's just a little bit deficient, any carbonates that are slowed over there are possible. But why? You see that whatever Mizbeach hazav, even if it wasn't there, the avoidance that related to it are kasher. So why not the same thing regarding the Mizbeach hachitzen? So that says the Gemara, no, kudama Rav, like Rav said, that maidaha yirbihud bedam, that although as we're going to quote shortly, that yirbihud held that for certain things they didn't need the Mizbeach itself, but Rabbi Yehuda agreed that regarding the blood of the carbon, which was the primary kapara of a carbon that the Zerika was thrown onto the Mizbeach, that for that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you do need the Mizbeach. Here also, although Rav says that you're right, for Keteris, let's say, you didn't need the Mizbeach Hazab itself, but regarding the blood of the carbon, that you do need the Mizbeach, and therefore the carbon is rejected, because if it's Nifgam, although yeah, for other Avoidus, let's say it's going to be eligible even without the Mizbeach, but regarding Damim, you need it, and the carbon has Damim, and therefore it's because of that that the carbon becomes rejected. So the Gemara now has a lengthy discussion to explain Mayer Bihuda. So what's this statement that you're quoting from Bihuda, that you're drawing a parallel, and you're saying, oh, just like over there, Bihuda doesn't need the Mizbeach, but for the blood he does. Therefore here also by Rav, although he doesn't need necessarily the Mizbeach like we find by the Keteris, but regarding a carbon, the Damim, that you do need it, says the Gemara D'Tanya. It's based on the following Brisa. The Brisa says, quoting a pasuk in Melachim Aleph, when Shlomo HaMelech was dedicating the first base of Mikdash, it says, "Bayema hu kidesh HaMelech," and the gear says, "Es toicha chatzah begaymer," that the king sanctified the inner area of the courtyard, begaymer and etc. Why? Kimizbeach, and the gear of the Gemara is Sha'asa Moshe, but the gear of the pasuk is actually Kimizbeach HaNecheshesh Asher Lefnei Hashem, because the copper altar that was in front of Hashem was katel mehekel, was too small to hold it all. And therefore, he had to sanctify the courtyard of the Azar itself. Now, Devarim Kiksavan, Devar Bihuda. Bihuda says that the words are literally as they're saying, meaning to say that Shlomo HaMelech actually sanctified the floor of the Azar to be an altar to sacrifice karbanis on it. Now, but that's what we'll say later on, that Rabbi Huda, however, says, but not for the bloods. For the bloods, that wasn't valid. For other things, he made the ritzpah, the floor of the Azara, like the Mizbeach itself. Now, why? That's what the Pasuk is saying. Because since the Mizbeach was too small to contain all the Karbanos Oila and Shlam that he was bringing for the Chanukah of Mizbeach, therefore he sanctified the floor to be like the Mizbeach. Now, the Gemara later on is going to say, according to this, the interpretation of Rabbi Huda of the Pasuk is because the new altar made out of stone that Shlomo HaMelech made, which was in the place of the copper altar that was from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the new one was even too small, and therefore they had to make that like the floor of the Azara was like the Mizbeach itself, so that they could have more room to sacrifice karbanas. Now, on that, Amalei Rabbi Yisi said to him, but what do you mean? The Pasuk already tells us regarding the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the desert, which was in Noivin given, which was years later when they had an Eretz Yisrael, as a Ketim Talmud Bey, says Rabbi Yisi, but the Pasuk tells us in Melachim Aleph regarding Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Elef Oilois Yalish Shlema al Mizbeachahu. There was 1,000 Karbanos Oil that Shlema was able to bring on that Mizbeach, meaning the old Mizbeach, that of the one of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, make the following calculation. Ve'ilu b'beisai lamam hu oimer. Now, regarding the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash, which was what Shlema Melch built, the Pasuk tells us in Melachim Aleph, the Yizbach Shlomo Ezebach HaShlam Mashazabach LaShem. That Shlomo went and he slaughtered the Karbon Shlomim that he was slaughtering for Hashem. This was told on the day of the Chanukah HaMizbeach. Bakar Esther Mishnaim Aleph, there was cattle was 22,000, as the Pasuk continues, and regarding the sheep was 120,000. And he dedicated the house of Hashem, the king, and all the Jewish people. Now, says Rabbi Yisi, so if you can calculate the amount of karbanas and the amount of the dimensions of the mizbeches, if we're contrasting the mizbech avanim, the altar of stone that Shlomo HaMelech had built, in contrast to that of the one, the old one of Moshe Rabbeinu from the midbar, you're going to come out that Zeh, this one of Shlomo, was gadol mizeh, was greater than that of Moshe, proportionate to the amount of karbanas. Because that of Moshe Rabbeinu it says that it was 5 length by 5 width. Now, you have to diminish from that area, the area of the cronus, of the cornice, which are amas on either side. Then additionally, you have to diminish from the square area, the place where the amma, where the kahanim could walk, which was an amma within the cornice going all around the maracha of the where the fire was, where you could burn all the karbanas. It comes out that the actual area of the maracha was an amma squared. Because if you have 5 by 5, so if you take away an amma on either side, that diminishes from that, and then you have the one around it, inside of that, those take away 2 on either side. You're left with an amma by an amma in the middle. As the Gemara says this later on in Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Now, in contrast, the Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech made, the place of the Maracha, according to Rabbi Yossi, as the Mishnah teaches in Masechtas Midas, was 20 amas by 20 amas. Now Rashi, the way he calculates math, he says, okay, so split up that area into strips of 20 amas, each one an amma by an amma squared by a length of 20 amas. You come out that you have 400 length by a width of an amma. Now, as we pointed out, the area of the Maracha itself of Moshe Rabbeinu's was only an amma by an amma squared itself. And still, as we brought in the previous pasuk, you were able to burn 1,000 karbanos there in one day. Now, the reason for that, says Rashi, is because the fire from heaven is very quick to consume. So, by Shlomo HaMelech, that means to say by his Mizbech, in one day you were able to burn 400,000 karbanos. So, Elamau cut mehekel. So, says Rabbi Yossi, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, so what does it mean that the Mizbech that he had was too small? Obviously, it's not talking about the altar of Shlomo HaMelech, and because of that day, like Rabbi Yehuda said, because what do you mean? It only had 144,000. It could burn 400,000. Rather, it must have been talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbech, the old Mizbech HaNecheshes. And the Pasuk is saying that they were just coming to pass it on, to void it from being used. And this that it says that it was too small, why it say it was too small to have the Karbanos of that day? It's just an appropriate way of saying it. Like someone who says to his friend regarding someone that was passed on, that they're not using him anymore, oh, Pliny Nanasu. Oh, that person, he's a midget. Which is just an easy way of saying that he's going to be puzzle. But really, Upasla Avaida, which as Rashi points out, this is not the conclusion of the one who's saying this about that person. It's Rabbi Yossi who's saying that, but really that person is not able to do that service anymore. So they call him a midget. So when they're saying that the Mizbech was too small, it's referring to the Mizbech and the Cheshes of Moshe Rabbeinu, that they were passing that on. But they didn't sanctify the floor of the Azara to do the Avaida on there. We'll explain later on what it was done for, according to Rabbi Yossi. But no, they actually brought all those karbanos on Shlomo's Mizbech. They could do 400,000 a day. Of course, they could do the 144,000 that they were bringing on that day. Now, the Gemara asked Rabbi Yehuda, Shabbat come Rabbi Yossi. Similarly, Rabbi Yossi has a good point. Why did they have to sanctify the floor, like Rabbi Yehuda said, because there was no room on the Mizbech, and there were so many karbanos they were bringing that day when they did the Chanukah's Mizbech, so they had to actually sacrifice the sacrificial parts on the floor of the Azara, unlike the Dhamim, that's why we introduced this. But what do you mean? There was way more enough room on the Mizbeach itself. So it's the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei. Yehuda goes according to his reasoning, and that's where the Machlekes is based on a different Machlekes that they have. The Amar, that he said, Mizbeach sha'asa Moshe gadol haya. Actually, he disagrees with the dimensions with Rabbi Yossi of how big the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the one from the Midbar, how big it was. He holds it was bigger than the way Rabbi Yossi understands it. And therefore, according to him, if you're going to calculate the contrast of the amount of karbanos and the dimension of the amis of them, actually comes out that no, the amount that you could burn on that of Moshe, and then you're going to calculate that of Shlomo, actually was too small, that of Shlomo, to bring all the karbanos on the day of the inauguration. It's kind of like we learn the Braisa. Pasuk in Shemai says, regarding the Mizbeach, Chamesh Amis Arich, V'chamesh Amis Reichiv, that the Mizbeach was, this is the Mizbeach, and the chayishes of the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says it was 5 amas in the length and 5 amas in the width. First opinion says, Dvarim kiksalvan, the words are as it's written, the Rabbi Yossi says that was the actual dimensions. Behudaimer says, no. Nemar kan revu, and this pasuk, when it's describing the Mizbeach and the chayishes, it says that it was square. Now, 5 by 5 is a square. But there's a gzer shavah that we're going to talk about over here. It calls it square. V'nem alahalan revu, it says over there in regarding to by the Nevuah of Yechezkel, where he prophesies, either he was prophesizing regarding the second Beis HaMikdash or regarding the Mizbeach of the third Beis HaMikdash, which Mirtz Hashem will have very soon. And it says that it was squared to the four corners. Now we make a gzer shavah. Ma alahalan, just to go over there when it was measuring that of Yechezkel's nevuah was Memtziyase Hayimaydi, was measuring it from the middle, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain. So Afkan Memtziyase Hayimaydi, it says Rabbi Yehuda here too, when he was measuring the dimension of the square area of the Mizbeach 5x5, it's actually measuring it from the middle to every direction. So if you're going from the middle 5x5 one way, that means to say there was another 5x5 the other way, comes out it was actually an area of 10x10. So now if you're going to calculate the area for the Maracha of Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't 1x1 like Rabbi Yisi had said before. Rather, so you have 10x10. So you have to take away an Amma on either side for the corners. So you're left by 8x8. Then you have to take away another area on Amma all around where they could walk. So that comes out to the area of the Maracha was 6x6. Now, as we said before, that of Shlomo was 20x20. So Rashi goes through a lengthy process of describing how if you cut up into pieces, you're going to come out to the mathematical equation. But one thing that it comes out is that of Moshe Rabbeinu was 1/11th around of that of Shlomo's. So it comes out, so if on that of Moshe Rabbeinu's you could do 1,000 in a day, it comes out so that of Shlomo's you could do 1,000 others in a day and not more. Now the problem is, by the Chanukah's HaMizbeach, it said that they brought 22,000 cattle, and from the sheep, 120,000. So that comes out to a total of 144,000. That's obviously more than 11,000 that it could hold. And therefore, it says to Rabbi Yehuda that no, there was no room on that of Shlomo's. And therefore, they actually sanctified the floor of the Azara so they could burn the sacrificial parts on the floor of the Azara. Now, says the Gemara V'Hasim Olam. So Rabbi Yehuda says, we know from Gezeirah Shavah, from that of Yechezkel, how do we know over there when it was measuring the area of the Mizbeach of Yechezkel, it was talking about from the middle. So like it says, the Pasuk in Yechezkel says, V'ariel, which refers to the place of the fire itself of the Maracha on the Mizbeach, is Shteim Esrei, it's 12 Amos, which tells us it was L'chol Ruach, 12 Amos in every direction, which is actually 24 by 24. Oh, that says the Gemara, Oyena Ela Yudbez El Yudbez. Or maybe no, literally it was only an area of 12 by 12, not 24 by 24, not 12 in every direction. That says the Gemara, Kisho Emu, when the Pasuk says over the El Arbaas Revav, that it was squared to its four corners. What do you mean to its four corners? Melamet Sheme Emtu Maidid means that we're measuring from the middle going to all the four corners. So that comes out that it was from the middle measuring, and therefore when we have Gzeirah Shavah to that of the Mizbeach HaChashis, was also from the middle, and therefore again, instead of being 5x5, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was actually 10x10. Now, Rabbi Yasi says the Gemara, who he says that no, it's Dvarm Kiksava, and the Mizbeach was not 10x10 in the Mizbeach HaChashis, but rather 5x5, he would tell you, Ki Gam Gzeirah Shavah, when does he learn this Gzeirah Shavah of Revuah? It's actually not a Gzeirah Shavah from the word Revuah by Yechezkel, rather it's a Gzeirah Shavah from the word Revuah, squared, that it says by the Mizbeach HaPenimi, by the golden Mizbeach in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And actually, the Gezeirah Shavah is not teaching us regarding the area of the length and the width of the top of the Mizbeach, but rather, Begoivahu Degamer. It's a Gezeirah Shavah that's actually teaching us regarding the height of the Mizbeach, HaNechashis. The time, like, learn the Braisa. The Pasuk says in Shemais, says, V'sholish Amis Kaimase. And there was a height of the Mizbeach HaNechashis. The Pasuk says that it was a height of 3 amas. So the first opinion says, Devarim Kiksav, and Devarim Yudim says, well, that's literally. It was literally a height of 3 amas. Rabbi Yasi Aymer, and this is what we're bringing out, he says, no, Nemer Kan Revua, V'nemel Han Revua. It says over here by the Mizbeach Nechash that was squared. It also says the same terminology, weir, by the Mizbeach Hazav, it says also over there that it was squared. It says that it was Amma Arkay, the inner Mizbeach was a length in Amma, V'amma Rachbay in Amma in its width. Revua, it was squared, because it was 1x1. The Amasayim Kamasim was a height of 2 amas. Now, Ma'alahalan gave a Pishnaim Karka, just like over there, the height was double the length, because the height was 2 amas, the length was only 1 ama. The Gezeirah Shavah teaches us, Afkan also over here by the Mizbeach HaNechashis, Pishnaim Karka, that the height was double the length. Now, the length, as Rabbi Yisi learns, Devarim Kiksavan was 5x5, so it was 5 amas. That makes the height 10 amas. Now, the Gemara then at the end is going to explain, so then why does the Pasuk say the height was 3 amas? But that's one thing, from the Gezeirah Shavah we learned that the height was 10 amas. Now, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Yasi, how can you say that? But like for Nehmer, the Pasuk says in Shemais, V'esachatzer, Meir Amah, that the length of the courtyard of the Mishkan was 100 amas. V'koyma chamesh amas v'goymer. And the height of the courtyard, which means to say that the curtains that surrounded the courtyard, was only a height of 5 amas. And that says Rabbi Yehuda Trabiesi, if you're saying the height of the Mizbeach was 10 amas high, Esher Kain Oimer Agav Mizbeach, is it possible the Kain's going to be standing on top of the altar, Vavayda B'yada, and he's going to be doing the Avayda in his hands, V'cholom Roi Nesim B'chutz, and everyone's going to be able to see him from the outside? It's not appropriate for the modesty of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, to have, if the curtain's only 5 amas high, now according to me, that I hold Rabbi Yehuda saying that it was only 3 amas high, so good, he's being concealed by the curtains to some extent. But you're saying that the Pasuk says the curtains were 5 amas high, and the Mizbeach was 10 amas high, so the Kain's doing the Avayda, everyone's watching him and gawking at him from the outside? That Amle Rabbi Yisi says to him, no. But like Farnem, the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, Ves Kali Achatzar, that the curtains of the courtyard, Ves Mesach Shar Achatzar, and the coverings, which are also the curtains of the gateway of the courtyard, Asher Al HaMishkan Va'al Mizbech, that was on the Mishkan, on the tabernacle itself, and on the altar. What do you mean, on the Mishkan? Says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yisi, what does it mean, on? It means to say it had to cover the Mishkan. Ma Mishkan Yud Amas, just like the Mishkan, required curtains to surround it and cover it for the height of 10 Amas, because that was the height of the Mishkan, as the Pasuk says, that it was a height, each keresh, each plank, which was what the Mishkan was built from, was 10 Amas high. So you needed to have that it's a height of 10 Amas. So therefore, Af Mizbeach, so too obviously the altar also needed, and therefore it's not difficult, the curtains, which were already 10 Amas to cover the Mishkan, well, also Yud Amas, you already had the curtains 10 Amas that was covering the height of the Mizbeach, which was 10 Amas. Now, but moreover, says Rabbi Yisi, V'olim the Pasuk says in Shemais, Kaloim Chamesh Esrei, the curtains were 15, as the continued type of Samach Amat Alf, Amma Ela Kosev, that they were 15 Amas high by the side next to the gate opening into the Azar. Now, Rabbi Yisi learns, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, who learns that these 15 Amas is actually regarding the width of the Kloyim, which is by the entryway of the Azara, he learns that it's actually talking about the height. And therefore he learns that it wasn't just regarding the opening of the sides of the Azara, but rather it's actually referring to the old Chatzar of the Oil Maid. All of them were a height of 15 Amas. Now, if the curtains were a height of 15 Amas, and therefore that resolves for Rabbi Yisi that no one was able to see the Kohen doing the Avaida, because although the Mizbech was 10 Amas high, the curtains were 15 Amas high. But then the Matam Alem, then what does the Pasuk mean in Shemais when it says V'koyme He Amas, that the height of the curtains were 5 Amas? Well, not 5 Amas, they were 15 Amas. Oh, it says Rabbi Yisi, Misvas Mizbech Ulamala. When we say it was a height of 5 Amas, meaning above the area of the Mizbech that they had to cover, it was another height of 5 Amas. Now, but then the question addresses Rabbi Yisi, Matam Alem, what does the Pasuk mean in Shemais when it says V'sholish Amas Kaimasai? Says the Mizbeach was 3 Amas high. What do you mean? And that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yisi is saying it's 10 Amas high, but the Pasuk says it's 3 Amas high. Oh, says Rabbi Yisi, that's so too. Similarly, Misvas Seiviv Ulamala. From the edge of the Seiviv where there was a Yisayid, and there was also a Seiviv, which we mentioned in previous Dafim, from that area of the Seiviv going upwards, up until the place of the Kronos, were an area of 3 Amas. Now, beneath that Seiviv was an area of 6 Amas, with the addition of the Keren itself, which was an Amahai, makes for a total of 10 Amas. But when it says 3 Amas, it was only from the area of the Seiv, which was a ramp going around part of the midpoint of the Mizbeach, going upwards. Now, it says the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda, who he learns, Dvarm Kiksavan, that the Pasuk is literally, no, the Mizbeach was only a height of 3 Amas. So says the Gemara, Ki Gamar Gzeir Shava, when he learns, as we mentioned before, the Gzeir Shava of Revu Revua, he learns it, no, but Rechava Hudagam, and now the Rabbi Yehuda is learning from the Mizbeach Hazav, that is teaching us regarding the height of the Mizbeach HaChayshus, he learns that that's teaching us regarding the width of the Mizbeach HaChayshus, like we said, that you should measure it from the middle, that it's not 5x5, but rather it's for a total of 10x10, as we learned from the Mizbeach HaBichaskel, as we mentioned before. Now, but the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda, that although he says that it's Dvarm Kiksavan, that's literal, so therefore he says, okay, so Mizbeach is only 3 Amas high, and the curtains, according to him, were 5 Amas high, so you're being covered, but still, Hakum Eschazi Kain, still the Kain still being seen, because the Mizbeach has a height of 3 Amas, and the curtains are only 5 Amas high, and the Kain himself is 3 Amas, which is like around 6 feet, so it comes out, his head is still sticking out above the curtains, and people are still seeing him. Sigmar says, Nehid the Kain Meschazi, although the Kain is visible, Avayda de Biyadi le Meschazi, it's not difficult because no one is able to see the work that he's doing. So although they could see his head, no, that's still not a problem, still not a breach of modesty because no one's seeing the actual Avayda itself. Sigmar continues asking regarding the Smachlaikis. Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda, Haydn Dechsev Kiddush, going back to the initial story that we started off with, we can understand why the King Shlaima sanctified the area of the courtyard. Because according to Behuda, he had to sanctify literally the floor of the Azara to sanctify that it should be like the altar, which therefore they had to sanctify with the leftovers of a mincha and with certain songs of zmiras of Tehillim, like the Gemara says in Shavuos Avodah Zarah and Aleph, because they actually had to burn the imurim. You couldn't burn that, and there was no room. They had to do it on the floor itself. But El Rabbi Yisi, my key, the Shkron Rabbi Yisi, why did Shlomo HaMelech have to sanctify the area of the chatzar? According to him, they were doing it on the Mizbeach of Shlomo. It just said that that of Moshe's was too small. And that says the Gemara, they had to sanctify the chatzar to be, quote, the halacha of the Azara, l'hamid b'mizbeach, to be able to put the altar of stones. You could only put it in the Mizbeach if there's an Azara to put it into. He sanctified the chatzar to be an Azara, but not to be able to burn stuff on it, because they all did that on the Mizbeach of Shlomo. Continues the Gemara. Bishlam Abyeisi, one son according to Abyeisi that says that Shlomo HaMelech was very big, and that of Moshe's, according to him, was small, which, as we said, the Maracha was only one by one, according to Abyeisi. So we understand how indefinite of cuttings, we understand why, when it says that the Mizbeach HaNachetches, that of Moshe's, was small, it makes sense, because it was very small, the Makom Aracha, and that's why Shlomo had to make the Mizbeach Avanim, because the Mizbeach HaNachashim was too small. El Rabbi Yehuda, that he says that actually, that what they sanctified was the Ritzpah of the Azara, because even that of the Mizbeach of Shlomo was too small to have all the oilas of the inauguration, so my cotton. So why does it say in regards to the Mizbeach HaNachashim of Moshe that it was small, but even in regards to that incident, even that of Shlomo was small? So the Gemara HaChikama, yeah, that's what the Pasuk says according to Rabbi Yehuda. Mizbeach, although it says that the Mizbeach HaNachashim was too small, what it really means to say is, Mizbeach HaVanim, Sha'asa Shlomo, Tachas Mizbeach HaNachashim, that even the new, larger altar made out of stone that Shlomo HaMelech made, which was taking the place of the copper altar, that even that, Katan Hava, was too small. And because it took the place of Mizbeach HaNachashim, and it was in its place, that's why they were calling it Mizbeach Nechashis, as we find similarly passing in Divrei Yom, that actually explicitly calls it V'yas Mizbeach Nechashis, that Shlomo HaMelech made a copper Mizbeach, that its length was 20 by 20 by width, which was Toma the Makom Aracha, which actually refers to Shlomo HaMelech's Mizbeach, but it calls it Mizbeach Nechashis because it was taking the place of that old Mizbeach. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion by saying, B'mai pligi. So what exactly are they disagreeing about? Rabbi Yisi, who he learns the Gzeir Shavah Revu Revua from the Mizbeach Hazav regarding height. In contrast, Rabbi Yehuda learns it from the Mizbeach of Yecheskel regarding the width. Why does one learn the Gzeir Shavah from one and one learns from somewhere else? Says the Gemara, because Mar Sabar Dan Nechutz Mechutz. Rabbi Yehuda held, we'd rather learn that of Mizbeach on the outside, of in that's in the Azara, from that of Yecheskel, which is also outside and not in, and Ve'ein Dan Nechutz Mepnim, but you don't learn out a Mizbeach of the Nechashah that's on the outside from the Mizbeach Hazav that's on the inside. Whereas Umar Sava, but Rabbi Yisi held no, Dun and Kli Mikli. You'd rather learn out the Mizbeach HaNachashis from the Mizbeach HaZav, which both of them are vessels that were both mobile. Vein Dun and Kli Mibinya, I don't learn out the Mizbeach HaNachashis from that of Yecheskel, which is going to be a structure that's going to be permanent, and therefore you'd rather learn out from that of Mizbeach HaZav. And again, based on that, they have their different interpretations of what Revuah and the dimension of Mizbeach, and therefore that relates to their machlekes regarding how to understand that Pasuk in Malkam Aleph regarding what was too small. And that's what the Gemara is going to continue in the next daf, where although we said that according to Yehuda, they made literally the floor of the Azara like the Mizbeach, but that's regarding the sacrificial parts. But as we had brought for Rav, that regarding Tamim, regarding the blood itself, that was different. That actually literally needs the Mizbeach. And that's why, even though Rav held that the Mizbeach HaZav you don't need for the Keteris itself, but regarding a carbon that you need for its damim, that's different. Damim Shani, that you need to have the Mizbeach itself, as the Gemara is going to say on the next daf.